You're at the funeral of someone you love. Might be a good friend, a parent, maybe even a spouse. But all the different encounters you've had with them, they come flooding back in a tide of your own memory filled with mixed emotion. First funeral I ever went to was for my grandfather, my father's father. He was a farmer in central Wisconsin near Oshkosh, a small town called Omro, if you ever heard of it. I remember very little about him, except this one time he took me on an ATV around his house, and he smelled like pipe tobacco all the time as well. But you may feel some joy remembering all the different fun times that you shared together with your loved ones. But in the moment of the funeral, there's an overwhelming flood of grief which burdens and it crutches the soul. It's a symptom of a curse that we all share. As Paul says, the wages of sin is death. And in the days, the weeks, the months, and even the years after our losses, grief can feel thicker than the very air that we breathe. What happens to you in the face of grief? How do you change your demeanor, the way that you act, who you are? Well, in our last reading, the reading from John, the raising of Lazarus, we have two different examples of how people grieve. You and I were meant to put ourselves into the shoes of Mary and Martha. We grieve like they do, because they express grief is often how we end up expressing grief as well. So tonight, for the rest of our time, let's take a brief walk through this good grief and see how they've expressed it and how our Lord abided with them through it. Martha, she meets Jesus first. In fact, it says that she went out and met him. Now, I imagine it's not hard to think of the different Marthas in your life. They're the people, they get stuff done, who never seem to sit still and make sure everything is handled and taken care of. I see some giggles out there. You know your Marthas, absolutely. Everyone loves a Martha, especially churches, ever the good host. Martha, even in her grief, refuses to let off the burden of hospitality. She went out and met her Lord outside her home, likely along the road. But throughout this encounter, there's a coldness, almost an indifference to her demeanor, a sense of almost going through the motions of life. I mean, of course, she's wounded, but she won't let that stop her, of course. She does what she feels she needs to get done. But the grief, it spills out when she sees her Lord. She says this refrain that Mary echoes later, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's a fair statement. You ever felt that way? Like God could have done more. You ever felt that God was absent in your grief and hardship? It's likely the feelings that Martha had welling up inside her when she sees Jesus arriving, not one day, but 2 days later than expected. This woman's holding on by a thread. And this thin thread she clings to is the promises of God. She knows them. She's heard the sermons, heard the stories, and she says the right words. "I know that Lazarus will rise again on the last day." But in her heart of hearts, you can see that she's falling apart. And she keeps going through the motions of life, wounded, but striving to live in hope. This is how Marthas deal with grief. They grit their teeth, put on a smile, and keep moving, even if it hinders, and even if it hurts. But for others, the Marys in the world, their whole life ends up falling apart. Instead of Martha's cold and indifferent temperament, Mary is fiery and cannot move on. Tears stream down the woman's face for days after her grief is started. She gives that same echo that Martha says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." This form of grief, it makes many people very uncomfortable. It's not hidden, it doesn't go away, but you just feel stuck, unable to change a thing. I encourage you, Google the Lament Psalms, when you go home tonight, and read one or two of them. Crack open the book of Jeremiah and see how he's feeling about the state of the world that he's living in. Mary's grief is a common biblical theme. And if you're enduring that tonight, please know you're in very good company. But this kind of grief is not just angry at situations, but it's often aimed directly at God himself. You ever been mad at God? Question, why? Why would you let something like this happen? Why would you end up treating me, your servant, in this way? I think in our heart of hearts, this anger aimed at God is more common than we might like to admit. But there's gospel in this passage too. As we watch how Jesus interacts with each of them, we also see how he abides in our own grief. With Mary, he very simply cries with her. Jesus wept. Now, this is the shortest Bible verse in the entire Bible. Now, did anyone have to do memory work for church growing up? I'm just curious. Oh, yeah. You all know this verse, the shortest Bible verse. So for me, when I was growing up, we had to pick different Bible verses. We could pick a bunch of them for ourselves, and we had to go to the pastor and go and recite back different memory verses. Let me tell you. Every single kid growing up knew this Bible verse. John 11:35, Jesus wept. It's a very ironic Bible verse if you think about it in its context. I mean, Jesus wept, but he knew how the story would end. Omniscience should have its benefits. Why would he spend time crying? Not even an hour later, he would raise Lazarus from the dead. He only has to say the word. He has to snap his fingers, and it is so. But first, the Lord of all creation chooses to sit and mourn alongside this grieving sister Mary. I think this is a very big deal. Because whenever you and I, whenever we suffer, whenever you are going through the gauntlet of whatever life chooses to throw at you, remember that our Lord is there with you. Isaiah 53 says that surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He drank that same bitter cup to its very dregs. He bore your every sorrow, your every bad day as he traveled to the cross. Our Lord, he knows our weakness. He knows our grief. He knows your every bad day that you've ever had. And he chooses to stay and to mourn alongside us. More than this, he took up all of our anger at God, and paid the price for our redemption. Jesus is right next to us, next to you, when you're stuck in your grief and in your sorrow. But of course, grief isn't where this story ends. This story ends with dumbfounding joy in the restoring of not just Lazarus, but also Martha. Jesus gets up and begins to do something amazing. He's going to raise his friend from the dead, but Martha, ever the good host, is worried about the odor the corpse will end up having. But Jesus, he grounds her in his promises that she said to him earlier that her brother would rise again. She just didn't realize how soon. In the same way, Jesus always works to work past our excuses. Stay out of his way. Let go of control and watch the glory of God at work. Martha sure saw his glory on full display. Her living, breathing brother brought a new life to her cold, indifferent faith. And the same promise is what we all cling to at every funeral, at every graveside, at every bad day. The tomb of Lazarus points to the promise of resurrection. The promise of the resurrection brings life to the coldness of grief. He's there with you when you grieve, just like he was with Mary and with Martha. But he'll also be there one day when he comes again. And with his loving, scarred hands, he will beckon all of us forth to rise up and to live forever with him in his kingdom. Amen. Please stand for prayer.